That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the
hey, that old wheel's rolled around again. It's Saturday morning. Time for coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Well, the Wranglers are here. We've got our coffee and our Bibles. We hope you'll join us. Enjoy this song. We'll be right back after this.
The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel. Gonna roll around once more when it does.
And when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel's
gonna roll around once more when it does.
When it does.
It will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more when it does.
It will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning. It has rolled around again, and it is coffee time with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Good morning, Mr. Kyle.
Good morning.
And good morning, Mr. Jason.
Good morning.
And this is Ranch Wrangler Richard, and we are coming to you live from the Radio Ranch this beautiful morning of March 17th. Oh, we've got some beautiful colors outside, some yellows and oranges in the clouds and blue in the sky. The sun hadn't even quite made it up over the mountains yet. I kind of have to sit with my back to the window, but Cowboy Kyle gets to look right at it. So it's nice now till that sun peaks up and might have to pull the shades a little bit, but we do say good morning, and we welcome you. Hope you do have your coffee poured and your Bible open, and we'll start out with a prayer. Kyle, would you start out with a prayer for us this morning?
Sure. Oh, God, my Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning thankful. Thankful to be here. Thankful to be working, being your servant at the Scriptures for America. Pastor Peter's built, Lord, and we just can't say the gratitude that we have, Lord. And we thank you for your Son who died on the cross for us to make things all possible, Lord. For without him, nothing would be possible by us. We come to you this morning, we ask for your Holy Spirit guidance and direction. The path we take this morning, let it go the way you want it to go, where you want it to go. Let us have good fellowship, the three of us, and the listeners out there. Again, we ask for your Holy Spirit guidance. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. You know, this right here where we're at. Today is March 17th. That means tomorrow's March 18th. That's Sunday. Monday's March 19th, and Tuesday's March 20th. Tuesday marks the beginning of the solar year of 2012, because Tuesday is the spring equinox. And so, you know, in our modern-day society, that's a, you know, they always have their big New Year's Eve bashes, right? The big parties. Out with the old and in with the new type thing. And it's not that our people have come up with that on their own. You know, God has that very thing. He has his feast days set up. And what we've been continued to put out, that Pastor Peter's put out for since about 2000, 2001, and that is the 91st days. Basically, the 91st days are Sabbaths that fall between the seasons. And we've encouraged everyone to take those. We've put those days out. And, you know, we pretty well start the Sabbath today at noon. And the year ends on Monday. And so it's basically...
Today at noon or tomorrow at noon?
Well, the Sabbath starts today.
Oh,
the regular
just
Sabbath.
Just regular Sabbath,
yeah.
Okay.
And being that it is a leap year, it does get kind of funny that you have an extra day. And 2012 is a leap year. And so it just ties in with the feasts. It ties in with the Sabbaths. And basically, because Adam was created, you know, we were created to be an agricultural society. You know, we were created to till the earth. And even though the majority of us have gotten away from that, that is really where the blessings, part of the blessings came to the rest of the world through our people, is because we have been just that. And in an agricultural society, so much of what you do is based on the seasons. You know, whether it's the winter time of rest, the springtime of getting the fields ready and working with the animals, the summertime of you know, your produce and things that you've tilled the ground with growing, and then the fall time of harvest, and then it starts all over. So basically the 91st days are that. They are a Sabbath between the seasons. We, you know, and if you look at our calendar, they fall, they start, the solar year starts with the spring equinox, and that comes up on Tuesday. So basically between now and Tuesday, the 2011 solar year winds down. It winds down with the Sabbath, of course, today starts at noon, and then the year ending 91st days, basically Sunday and Monday, and then it starts all over again on Tuesday with the 2012 solar year. And so we just say hope you had a good year, and we're looking forward to another good and holy and blessed solar year of 2012 that comes in on Tuesday. And so Tuesday will be day one of the new solar year. If you count 14 days to the 14th day, that's Passover. So that will be Monday, April 2nd. And we are planning on having a live Passover service from the LaPorte Church of Christ. And we'll do our best to get that program out to you. Should be able to stream that live and get it out here on the broadcast as well. So we hope you'll join us on the Passover day. So just wanted to get a quick note out there about those 91st days. If at all possible, we encourage you to, you know, to observe those days as a Sabbath. Refrain from work. Read. Pray. At the very least, read and pray Psalms 91. And I know the pastor likened those four 91st days as the four fingers of your hand that made up your hand. And then he likened the Passover to the thumb day and to the thumb on your hand. And that, in it, you know, by observing those basically 5 days of the year, that it does enable us to re-enter into a special covenant with God. And again, Psalms 91 ties right into that, and being able to observe his days, do all this in obedience to him, and So we just hope you're able to do that. Just wanted to mention that to everybody. There sometimes gets a little confusion, and especially with the leap year, because you do get an extra day. Basically, today would be that, you know, today ends the year, today and this weekend. So anyway, that's the 91st days. Jason's done a real good job of having that posted at the website. So if you have any questions, you can go there and read about the 91st days. We do have a small treatise that we can send out as well. And anyway, just thought I'd start with that. How are things down around the church and the print shop today, Jason?
Oh, they're doing pretty good. We got, talking about 91st days and Passover and stuff, it's kind of interesting that there's only two states that I know of in the United States that don't observe daylight savings time. There might be more, but I was trying to think of, I can't think of any other ones, but that would be Arizona and Hawaii. And it's kind of interesting because I think it was 2007. I can't remember if it was 2007 or 2008 when they passed that energy bill and they changed and they moved up the daylight savings time to rob more time from us. But I believe it was 2007 when they passed that. Well, Russia just abolished the daylight savings time practice in the country of Russia due to it causing people health problems. And they said that it, you know, the moves, when you have to move your clock twice in a year, it throws people's sleep patterns off and causes more stress, causes biorhythms damage, causes more anger issues, causes a lot of health issues, which is... I remember us talking about it back in 2007 when they passed that energy bill, but, you know, it was all they were doing was robbing time from us. And that's what our enemies, one of the things that our enemies are trying to do to us. And it's just, it's kind of one of those interesting things that, here's a whole country that's backed out of the daylight savings time practice that started, 50 years ago.
Right.
Kind of encouraging.
It is good to see that. I would have to agree. It sure seems like it just messes everything up, and takes sometimes weeks for you to kind of get used to, now it's pitch black when you wake up in the morning versus it used to be, the sun was coming up half an hour before you'd get up. And I certainly like the, having the...
longer days.
The longer days, the longer time in the afternoon. But it would be nice to go to one piece and just stick with it.
Yeah, it would be. Everything. It's when you have things and you're changing your clock constantly, you're out of order. It's disorder.
It is.
It's not. You don't have anything concrete because everything's changing. Everything's changing.
Right. And I like what you said, Jason. It does tie in with these 91st days because these days are a day of rest, an additional day of rest. When we're told to take God's yoke upon us, the yoke of Jesus Christ, because he says, my yoke is light. Well, you have to contrast that. If his yoke is light, then... that tells us a couple things, that there's another yoke out there, and that other yoke is not light. It's heavy. And that's the yoke of sin, of course, but it's the yoke of man and the yoke of man's kingdom and Satan's kingdom versus the yoke or the responsibilities, the things that we're to do for Christ's kingdom. And one of the parts of the yoke of Christ's kingdom is a day of rest. Back in the days of Egypt, they didn't have they didn't work Monday through Friday and get the weekends off. And look at our society today. It's 24/7. We basically, as a society today, don't work Monday through Friday and get the weekends off. We are right back in that Egyptian bondage, right back in that Babylonian captivity. To where it's gather your own straw, make more bricks, and that's the yoke of man, the yoke of man's kingdom, the yoke of Satan's kingdom. But when we contrast that with the yoke of Christ's kingdom, he says 6 days shall you work, you take a seventh day off. And then with these 91st days, it's like, you know, listen, the seasons are changing. You take a day off. You get another Sabbath day off. And and I think, and we've talked about it over the years since this has been implemented. And, you know, we've talked about how at times, how hard it is to do that. You know, what do you mean I got to take a day? I got work to do, you know. And even here in the ministry, haven't we experienced that? You know, we've got the newsletter coming up, and we've got manure to get on the fields out on the ranch, and we need to do this with the cows. And, you know, I've got to work on this this article, and we've putting this together and getting ready for Branson. And you know, I mean, don't we see that?
Absolutely.
I know we have. I can remember John talking about that. You know, what do you mean? You know, we all have.
I remember when the pastor started preaching that in Power Prophecy and Destruction series. I ignored it. I worked. I was self-employed, so it's not like I had to go to my boss and say, although I had many bosses being self-employed, you're not, you know.
Right.
But anyway, I ignored it. You know, I'd always try to get something done on those 91st days, and I'd always either have a pump breakdown, you know, all of a sudden the paint doesn't act right, get a splitting headache, come home sick, and then, you know, of course, having a loving wife, she'd say, this is the 91st day, ain't it? And that, enough said. You know, and that went on. I mean, it wasn't like that happened once and, oh, okay, you know. No, yeah. You know, I'm a stubborn Israelite, you know, and it took a long time before I'm like, okay, this is stupid. You know, God's telling me, don't just ignore it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then there's people out there that there's not much they can do because we are in Babylon.
We are.
You know, and, but there was something I could do.
Yeah. And you know that.
You know what? A lot of people, though, it's what's interesting is I've seen a lot of people, you know, say, "Oh, there's not a lot that they can do." But you know, if there was a concert or a party or, you know, a baseball game or something like that they wanted to go to, boy, they sure could be there, and it wouldn't matter about their work situation.
You're right there.
You know, they could yep. be right there, and they could take one of them days off of work that they get, or they could call in on a sick day, or they could, you know. Something.
You're right.
But I've seen so many people that, oh, I just have to work. I just have to work. I can't get the day off. Well, they didn't even try. You
right.
know, they'll say that. But the thing is about it is it's, you know, it's obedience. And if it ain't important to you, you know, don't lie about it.
Right. Yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, people, we put these dates out, you know, in the newsletter, on the website. We know months in advance, and it's just a matter of what's important to you. You know, what's important to you? It's a day to spend with your family. It's a day, you know, it's a Sabbath day. It's a day to rest. It's a day to dedicate to Him. And you know, that kind of ties in, Jason. We had a, got a letter. I was just starting to share it with Kyle this morning, but it says, Dear SFA, here's my tithes for March. Thank you. Praying for you always, and it's signed Robert. And he says, P.S., I'd like to hear the men at the Radio Ranch Wranglers talk about Isaiah chapter 58, verses 13 and 14. Isaiah 58, 13 and 14. And so I just printed out Isaiah 58 real quick, when I was going through the correspondence this week and kind of put this off for Saturday so that I could bring it up. And you know, interesting enough, that it's what it talks about, the Sabbath. And I think, you know, Isaiah 58 is talking about observance of fasts. And what was the heading you mentioned this morning, Kyle? It talks about
why God didn't answer Israel prayers was the heading.
Yeah. Now see, it's interesting. I don't have that in mind. I might have to go through your Bible, get some of those good notes out of them. But basically 13 and 14, I'll read that real quick if that's all right. Isaiah 58, 13 and 14. And it says, if because of the Sabbath you turn your foot from doing your own pleasure on my holy day and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and honor it, desisting from your own ways, from seeking your own pleasure, and speaking your own word. Then you will take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth, and I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And I think it is interesting how this and the timing. Robert, we thank you for sending the letter in and talk about perfect timing for it, because I think it ties right in with these 91st days. And the whole chapter, if you read the whole chapter, you know, it talks about how, you know, in 4 it says, "Behold, you fast for contention and strife, and to strike with a wicked fist. You do not fast like you do today to make your voice heard on high." And I think the whole chapter kind of does that. It just says, you know, why do you do these things? You know, this is not what you're supposed to be doing.
Well, it fits right in with what Jason was saying. I mean, to me, it's just like, well, it's a Sabbath day. I'm not going to work, so I'm going golfing. You know, I mean, and it's just, you know, you find time for your selfish, you know, filling your self needs, you know, and you ignore God altogether. You know, I mean, God, the creator of the universe, the creator of everything that was created, you know, those seasons are probably pretty important to him. You know, the way he designed this whole thing, you know. So those 91st days that, as Richard explained earlier, is dividing the seasons apart are probably something to have reverence over, you know. Because, you know, I mean, none of us, or we've never met anybody that can do that. You know, but yet we give reverence to people who have no business having reverence over them, you know, I mean, but yet God Almighty, who created all these things, you know, and like you said, that harvest thing is, you know, I mean, there's a reason for all those seasons. There's a reason, you know, so to not celebrate those days when, you know, when they ought to be celebrated is a lack of reverence, you know, so it's like slapping God in the face.
Well, and again, it's in his wisdom, it's saying, here's a day you don't have to work. He says 6 days you work. And so, you know, if you have a 5-day work week at work, well, good. Get your work done at home on the 6th day and then, you know, have a day for him as well. It's not that complicated a thing. So, Robert, I'm not sure what you wanted us to talk about, Isaiah 58. But it sure has, you know, come in. We are to keep the Sabbath. You know, if you have the opportunity to gather with the saints and worship Jesus Christ, we, you know, certainly recommend you do that. If you don't live, you know, around some saints, you know, that's one of the big reasons that we've been sending the LaPorte Church of Christ church services out live on Sunday morning, is for that very reason, as well as sending the recording and sending the DVD church out, is so that the saints that are out there that are scattered around are able to have fellowship and songs of praise and communion and a worship service on the Sabbath. You know, speaking of that, being that Monday and till Tuesday at noon is a 91st day. It will be Tuesday before we get the DVD church mailed out. So if you do get the DVD church out there, it will probably be a day late this next coming week. So just keep that in mind. Well, Jason, what's going on in the world these days?
It seems like there's just a lot of madness going on, really. I mean, you look around and just everywhere you turn,
well,
something's
it's
going on. We did have, I'd claim it a victory in Missouri for gun rights this week. They were trying to ban, they tried to pass a bill that made it legal. Well, they tried to employers in the state of Missouri had the right to discriminate on whether they hired an employee based on if they owned guns or if they used guns or if they thought they used guns excessively. If they liked to shoot, if they liked to hunt, an employer could determine whether they wanted them to work for them or not. And there were a lot of people that had been fired or lost their jobs or weren't able to get jobs because they were gun owners. And they finally they banned that from taking place in Missouri. And, you know, which, not to say that we should have more laws, but to, you know, we've got them for everything else. We might as well, protect what God given us, because our Lord and Savior is the one that told us that if you don't have a sword, sell your robe and go and buy one. And did that and you wanted a job in Missouri and your employer didn't like it, well, you were out of luck. So I'd say we take every victory that we can get. And I thought that was kind of encouraging. They've been battling it for quite some time now. And it was just one of those things that's been going on out there. They had a good story there on, I didn't really know anything about it until lately, but have you heard about all the carbon monoxide treating of all the meat in the country?
Well, I've heard about the, you know, the pink slime. Is that what you're talking about?
The pink slime, they're using that along with the carbon monoxide. Now they started treating the meat. It'll keep it pink even when it's spoiled or when it's starting to rot. And they put it in and they pressurize it with carbon monoxide to keep the bacteria count down and the color up on it. But that's becoming a real issue out there. And the interesting thing is nobody knows about it. It was just recently, I guess, released or found out about what they were doing. And FDA never came out and said anything about it. They never did any testing or anything that we can find on it. But they say that 70% of the beef and chicken in the United States and in Canada are subject to and exposed to these poisonous gases.
I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it. I know that pink slime has really come out as an issue.
You combine that with carbon monoxide, and you've got a really deadly toxin.
Yeah, it's poison. But you know what? It has a long shelf life, and it still looks good.
Well, yeah, you don't want to eat a nugget that looks as rotten as it is.
No. No, not at all.
I used to go to church with some guys that, you know, they'd have this rusty old car, and they'd sand the rust down, and they'd paint it, and then they'd sell it to somebody. You know, and it's no different. I mean, I'm not saying that would kill them like some of this food will, but it was no different. It was all for a buck. You know, they had a piece. They would never want to buy a car like that. They'd be so mad if somebody sold them a car like that. But that was no big deal to them because it was all about profit. Hey, I got this $500 car. I sold it for $2,500. You know, yeah, it's full of rust, but that guy doesn't know it. I mean, they were justified in their own mind because of those dollar bills. You know?
Yeah. Well, I think if you go back and read, I talked about it a little bit on Thursday night. You go back and read Deuteronomy 28, verses 15 or 16 to the very end. And it's the curses that we will incur as a people if we do not follow God's instructions. And that's one of the things. You know, our people are, you look at our people, they're getting fatter and fatter is the basic. There are more obese children than there's ever been. And it's because our people are being fed these poisons and they're starving to death. They are literally starving to death.
Yeah, there's a famine in the land and nobody knows it.
Right. Right. Absolutely. Yeah,
you can have a famine disguised as a problem with obesity.
Oh, that's exactly what it is. It is. The people aren't healthy. You know, how many times do we hear the pastor talk about the MSGs and those type things? You know, we've had the ladies address it on the God's Home Healthcare program as well. They've brought it up a time or two, That's exactly what it is. It is. It's a famine in the land as our Babylonian captors just continue to put poison after poison out. And
people are dropping everything.
And it makes them good money. It does. It makes them very good money.
That's what so much of our society is about, especially when you have this, corporations that have taken over everything. You've got this Monsanto Corporation. You know, we've talked a lot about what they are doing to poison our people, and they're poisoning our people, and they're using their population control, and, which basically is nothing but euthanasia. And, just trying to completely destroy their destroyers. They're destroying everything else, why they rise higher and higher. You know, we have the promise that our enemies are going to go lower and lower as we rise higher and higher. So at one point, there's going to be a transfer, and I think that that's just what we're coming into, because if you've seen, we've had several victories against the Monsanto Corporation lately. You know, they haven't been real good victories or real big ones, but they're victories. You know, when you can win a lawsuit for $100 million against the corporation that is a giant across the world, you know, that is that's pretty awesome. And we're starting to see those on a regular basis. So when we start to see those on a regular basis, that's the sign that that they're going down. And I really think that through educating people and through people's prayers first and foremost, that that company will be coming to an end, and everything that they've done to destroy will be completely reversed. You know, who knows how long it'll take, but it, it's going to happen. They've come in and not just only in our food, but in our gas prices. Anybody that's filled up their car lately, seen what they've done to the gas prices?
Yeah.
You know, and people forget that when Obama was inaugurated, that the average price of gasoline was, I think, $1.71. And now we're looking at close to $5. You know, yeah. And a lot of places are over $5 already.
Yeah, they are. D.C.
You know, we're in one of the areas that, I guess, according to the news media, that is actually supposed to be some of the cheapest gas in the nation. And I have no idea why, but... I think we're still at right around $4 a gallon.
Yeah, and it should be
over $4 for diesel.
And it should be $1.50.
Oh yeah, I mean, how it was for how many years was it $1, $1.10? It was.
Well, yeah, Jason, you're so young. I mean, how many years was it? 60 cents when I started driving.
Well,
I remember when it went to $1 a gallon. I can remember saying, I'll never pay $1 a gallon for a gallon of gas. I can remember that.
I remember just pulling and saying, $5 worth. Of course, in Oregon, they do it for you. So yeah. You just roll down the window, $5 worth, and that would take me a few days. You have to run that out.
Oh, I remember that. I remember that. Yeah, in 1980, I worked, made $2 an hour at the gun club. And they took taxes out of that. And, but I could work 3 or 4 days a week part time. And that kept gas in my car and, spending money in my pocket.
Yeah.
And yeah, because gas was, it was less than, 75, 80, 88 cents a gallon, something like that. And it is insanity.
And like you said, Jason, it's I've got to give people the knowledge, when you were talking, it reminded me of the church in Laodicea there in Revelations, where it says that, so then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of thy mouth, because thou sayest I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And that's where the majority of the people are. They are naked and wretched and poor and blind, and they don't even have a clue.
Absolutely.
You start raising awareness, and I think the awareness is growing, don't get me wrong, but on a whole, they don't understand. What do you mean? What do you mean we're in a famine? You know, I have my refrigerator's full of food. Or, you know, they don't know what you're talking about.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, along with that, Kyle, I think the next thing would be that they are lost and they think they're saved.
That's true. Yeah.
You know, they not only are wretched and poor and hungry, but they are lost and they think they're saved. They've listened to the Oral Roberts and the Billy Grahams and that, you know, just believe and you shall be saved. And they say, okay, I believe. And then they go back to their sinning lifestyle and they think in their mind that they're saved, that they're going to go to heaven, that they're going to go see Uncle Joe or Uncle James or Uncle Billy and Grandma in heaven, because Uncle Billy and Uncle James and Grandma were godly, righteous people. And they think because they believe, yeah, Jesus is the Son of God, that they're covered.
Yeah.
And they are wrong.
Yeah. You know, the daylight savings time thing, you know, like you guys were talking earlier, you know, how it robs you of sleep. Well, it robbed me of lots of sleep. I didn't get to bed till 2:30 because of that stupid daylight savings. But, I mean, that ain't the reason why. We went to the movie last night, and we drove by this little church in Laramie. And it's a United Church of Christ. You ever drive by that church, Richard? Right over there by the theater, the cheap theater.
Kind of around the corner.
Yeah, and they have a reader board out in the yard, out in the front walkway or whatever. And it, United Church of Christ, and it said, all are welcome. And underneath the, I mean, it said the reverend's name, and, you know, underneath the all are welcome was these colorful squiggly lines that if you're from Portland or San Francisco,
you know
what those colorful rainbow lines mean.
Right.
You know, and so there you have a so-called church, even uses the name of Christ in it, but yet on their reader board, they
are inviting faggots to church.
Are inviting, and obviously it's not to tell them to repent.
No.
Otherwise, they wouldn't have that little symbol on their reader board. Right. You know, so it angers me. So then I'm, you know, up till 2:30 in the morning, because I'm writing them a homosexual letter, I guess is what you can put it. And you know, I'm going to address in a letter that, you know, if it was a martini glass, then I would address the drunkards. But being that they put the symbol of the faggots on there, then, you know, and I know it won't do no good, but it'll do me some good, you know, and if it happened to do good, that'd be great, but, you know, that's going to happen one in a million, but it just, like, enrages me, you know, and what do? You know, yeah, I'd like to take a grenade over there and blow the church down, you know, but I can't do that, you know. It says anger and sin not.
Right.
So I figured I can at least write a you know, scriptural type letter, you know, that they might read, that they might rip up, or they might make fun of, you know, with all their little faggot friends or whatever.
Well, you know, it was just this last week. I think it was the Lutherans that came out with their own, you know, their own guidelines on what the priest or whatever's to say for same-sex marriages in their church. As a nationwide guideline.
Yeah.
You know, we, that, you know, I think one of the prettiest churches in town is the one right downtown, the big, it's a Lutheran church. It's the big, stone.
Mm-hmm.
Looks almost like a castle. You know, it takes up a whole city block and oh, it's just beautiful down there. And you walk inside it. I've been in it once. And, you know, it looks like something out of 1500s Europe. You know, big, huge wood inside. It's absolutely beautiful. We were there, we've been there one time. Several years ago, we had a neighbor, his wife passed away. And we went to the funeral there. And the Most High Reverend Mary Jane Smith officiated. And we stayed long enough to pay our respects. And we got out of there. You know? And, but that, it isn't that religion today?
It is.
That is what the world looks at as Christianity. And you know, when they present themselves before God Almighty, he's going to say, before Jesus Christ, And he's going to say, get away from me. I never knew you, you who practice lawlessness.
And the people love it so.
Oh, they love to have it that way.
Well, I don't, and I know you guys don't, you know. So in this Babylon world, you know, I want to profess the kingdom.
Amen.
You know, and, you know, to filthy fags or, you know, and it's one thing if you're just a filthy faggot that, you know, pollutes our nation, pollutes our land, you know, defiles it, you know, just by your ungodly living. But it's another one if you proclaim yourself as a Christian or a brother and you're living that. I mean, that it completely goes into a different category then to me. You know, you profess to be wise and you are just a fool. You know what I mean?
Amen.
So.
Well, they have the ability to take in, and some of the people that may be in that church that aren't homosexuals, just associating with them and eating with them and fellowshipping with them, that's bringing destruction down upon them.
You're right.
They don't even know
and they don't even know. That's absolutely correct, you know. Because Christ loves, you know, Christ loves the homosexuals every bit as much as he loves the heterosexuals, you know.
That's what they'll tell you.
Yeah, that's what they'll tell you.
Oh, well, you know, Christ ate with the tax collectors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What they don't tell you, though, is that's repentant sinners.
Right.
You know, it doesn't tell the heterosexual man, you shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, if he's a heterosexual and committing fornication, or he's a heterosexual and committing adultery, then it has words for him.
Right.
You know, but it doesn't specify for homosexuals. It says a homosexual shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, how many times I wonder they're teaching that off the pulpit in that church? I'm just curious.
That was one of those pages they ripped out, probably.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm not even sure if it's, like Richard was saying, this could be a woman, Reverend. It had one of those names that could go either way, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm addressing it as Mr.
Well, that's the thing about Laramie is, you know, it's a left-wing liberal town. It has the University of Wyoming there. And, you know, the churches strive to get the college students there.
Oh, I'm sure they do.
And so to do that, you know, it's, hey, come on. I'm surprised they don't say, come on over and we'll let you have a back bedroom to shack up right before services. You know, and if they would just serve beer, they'd get a lot more students over there. You know, what's the difference with what they, when they put out that kind of,
maybe
oh, you're all welcome
that
here.
To them.
Yeah, maybe put that in your letter, Kyle. You know?
Maybe I'll ask them to put a martini glass on them.
Yeah, maybe you get some of the drunks. But, you know, we had a local woman out here pass away just a couple of months ago. And they're, you know, we've known them the 10 years we've been out here, and I was going to go to the funeral, you know, just to pay my respects and that. And same thing, I didn't know where it was at. So I look it up online, you know, the obituary and where it's at, and it was at, like, First Baptist Church or something like that in town. And the same thing, it's Reverend, you know, Jane something.
Yeah.
And it had a picture of her, you know, sitting there, you know, fat, bobbed hair, looked like a dyke, you know, smiling there behind the office. And that's their pastor, their reverend.
Yeah.
And sorry.
That was the first thing I did when I got home.
You know,
is I looked up the word reverend. You know, I've heard it my whole life, and I thought I knew what it meant. And sure enough, you know, it's somebody you give reverence to. Mm-hmm. You know, and they are probably the least person in the world to give reverence to, most of them.
Yeah. And so I sure realize that big church, you know, beautiful stone, it's one of the most beautiful buildings in Laramie. But it's just a whitewashed sepulcher. It's full of dead men's and women's bones.
Yeah.
It looks beautiful, but it's just filth. It truly is. It truly is.
Yeah.
You know, Jason, I talked a little bit on Thursday night. I didn't get a chance to ask you, and maybe I will now, but I mentioned a couple things going on with the UN. The NAACP has appealed to the UN about these voter ID laws. You know, when you go to vote in the presidential votes elections coming up in November, that you have to show ID to be able to go vote, you know, to show where you live and, you know, and then they mark you off so you don't go vote 17 times and things like that. The NAACP is appealing that law, and they're appealing it to the UN. They're taking it to the UN Civil Rights Council.
That's kind of interesting.
Yeah, and I just kind of put that out there. And, you know, that ties in, I think. That was this week. And I think that ties in with last week, Senator Sessions doing the interview with Defense Secretary Leon Panetta and saying, you know, well, you know, what procedure do you go through to send our military to war? And he basically said, well, we look to the international community, to the UN and to NATO. And Senator, I believe his name was Sessions, kind of shakes his head. He asks him like six times, you know, well, what about Congress? Do you go to Congress? Isn't that what the Constitution says? That Congress has to declare war? And he basically told him, the Defense Secretary of the United States said, well, you know, we might go notify Congress when we do this. And anyway, I didn't know if you had seen those things, but I think, you know, I thought here's two more instances of, guess what, people? We're not under the U.S. Constitution. And we haven't been since the days of good old Abe Lincoln. And they just don't realize that. Anyway, I didn't know if you'd heard about it
or
not.
Yeah, actually, since Roosevelt put us into bankruptcy, that's when the Constitution was null and void.
Yeah. But, well, we had talked about a little bit on just about how Lincoln had done the same thing, had basically suspended and gone against the Constitution, you know, and started rolling in this big role of federal government. But yes, you're right. It when Roosevelt bankrupted us, that really kicked it all out. But anyway, I just didn't know if you'd heard about that or what your thoughts were on that.
Yeah, I've heard just bits and pieces about it, but really I couldn't find a whole lot of information about it. You know, so I don't know. I know that they were pushing that down in Arizona and Texas really heavily to get, you know, to make them show ID and stuff. But I don't know what happened with it. I know they were supposed to have a ruling on it this week. And what was the outcome of it, do you know?
No, the article was just that they had presented it. They had gone to the UN, to the UN Civil Rights Council. And I just thought, you know, isn't this interesting? The NAACP... They ought to call it, instead of the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, it ought to be for idiot people. You know, here you're going to go outside of the country, you're going to go to a UN council and want them to rule on an American voting law.
Well, who do they want to get in there? They want...
Sure, sure. They want
Obama in there.
Yeah, and so...
Well, no. They shouldn't be the idiots. Everybody else are the idiots.
It allows
them. They just happen to know where to go. You know, I mean, you have all these people that still are holding to the Constitution, still are holding to this process, you know, oh, you got to do it right.
Right. Write your congressman.
No, they're the idiots.
That's true.
You know,
that's true.
But anyway.
That's true. And so let's say they get a ruling, you know, whether it's binding or not, but it's still, it's a huge... you know, a huge organization from this country complaining about the law, going out of the country for a ruling on it. Well, you know, let's say it is binding. Then it comes back because it's apparent that our military does what the UN and NATO says. That's who controls our military. And so why shouldn't they control our voting laws? And then, of course, the next thing is, well, why shouldn't they control our guns? You know, guns are bad according to the UN. And only outlaws have guns, according to the UN. So anyway, I just thought it was interesting.
Well, and it was kind of interesting. I heard them when they were pushing that. There was some people saying, okay, well, if we don't have to have ID and we don't have to show residency to vote like you want us to, then do we have to show ID when we go and buy a gun?
Oh, yes. You need to have three forms, and especially when you go get a driver's license, make sure you have your state-certified birth certificate, your federally issued Social Security card, and two distinct separate approved proofs of residency. That's for a driver's license. And then if you want to buy a gun, yes, and we need to make sure we fingerprint you, and, you know, it's another $200 fee, and show us all those things as well. It is the confusion of Babylon. It absolutely is.
And that's only if you're a legal citizen. If you're illegal, you can get away with whatever you want.
You know, absolutely.
I'll just make up here a quick Social Security number. Well,
you know, I saw that in our little driver's license bureau. You know, I walk in there and she says, do you have the four forms of ID that the state has passed recently because we're in with the federally mandated ID Act? So you have to have the four forms of ID. You know, I'd been in there 6 months earlier. I was just renewing. I think it was when we did our motorcycle class and got our motorcycle permits or endorsements. And here's some, you know, some Latino that doesn't speak English overtaking the test, and there's an interpreter standing beside him asking him what the, you know, reading to him what the question is. And then, you know, whatever. I don't speak the language. And telling him what the answers are, and the guy would mark it on the screen, you know, and then there's another one talking to the lady there, and she says, okay, so do you have a birth certificate? And he's got an interpreter too. No, he doesn't have a birth certificate. So she says, okay, well, where were you born? Denver, Colorado. And she says, okay, and just continues on with it. You know, it is the absolute confusion and insanity of Babylon.
Yeah, it is.
It is.
It was interesting. Have you ever flown into that Orlando Sanford International?
The little airport in Orlando or the big Orlando International Airport?
Yeah, the Orlando International.
Yes, in and out of there quite a bit. That was, I lived a half an hour away from there, and when we flew back, you know, for last year when my mom passed away, that's where we flew in, and when so yes, in and out quite a bit.
I guess it's one of America's busiest airports, from what I understand.
It is every bit as busy as Denver or Atlanta. They say Atlanta, I think, yeah, definitely top five.
Well, it was interesting because they just announced this last week that they were going to pull TSA screeners out. And
hire weren't they hiring a private security force to take care of that?
No, they talked about it, but they're going to do away with the body screeners as far as TSA is concerned. And it's kind of interesting because those a lot of the other airports are really, they're really excited about it because if they get this done, right now they're just going through the legal process of doing it, but they've started motions to get them out of there. They've talked about using maybe going to some private security companies, but they don't have any plans to as of now. And if they do that, there's a lot of other airports that have already signed up and said, we're going to follow suit. If they can get this done, then that's what we're doing here. And they're just people, the airports are getting tired of people being harassed by these TSA workers. And I don't know how many, what the numbers are on how many people are down from flying, you know, before they introduced that TSA, but they said that, there's a lot of people that have just completely refused to fly because of the TSA workers. So
yep.
They think that if they can get the TSA out of the airports, that more people will be flying and traveling, and that might, you know, stimulate some more airport traffic.
Yeah, because that is certainly down. It is. Yeah, I see that article or one you're talking about, Jason, and yeah, Larry Dale, the CEO of Orlando Sanford International Airport. Last year, he sent a request for them to opt out and use, you know, private contractors. And it says that it was motivated by hundreds of complaints from passengers. And he says, this is a quote from him. He says, we've visited a number of airports who have opted out of the TSA screenings, and no one wants to go back. Well, why would
they? Yeah, no one wanted to go there to begin with.
Yeah. You know, well, imagine that. Why not? And it, you know, they exceeded or provided at least the same level as TSA screeners. 16 of the nation's 450 airports use private contractors, including larger ones like San Francisco International Airport, as well as smaller ones like Jackson Hole Airport in Wyoming. How about that? It says they're more cost-effective and better customer service. So, yeah, no, I did not know that Orlando had that. I know they sure did. You know, when we traveled this past end of June, beginning of July when we did that, you know, my oldest daughter went with us, and she was pregnant at the time. And so we, you know, I made a point. And then here I've got, just a handful of children, and actually a double handful, and moving through there. So, you know, I would go first and let them know that, had pregnant. Oh, and they said, well, the scanners are safe for pregnant women. And I'd say, well, we'd prefer not to go through that. So, but yeah, it's ridiculous. It is just, yeah, it's no fun to fly anymore, that's for sure. And you know, you contrast that with, I've said it before, but when I first met Colonel Moore, about 18, 19 years ago, he flew down to Florida, just outside of Tampa, for a conference that Pastor Peters held. And when I walked by, you know, he had flown down there. They picked him up at the airport. And I remember walking by, he's sitting down at a desk, or at a table, and he's got his briefcase open. And I just happened to, you know, glance as I walked by, and he's got a .45 Colt sitting there, cocked and locked. No holster, just sitting there in his briefcase. And that's how he flew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's how I talked to my grandfather, and he was telling me about, he used to fly with a 38 or a 357 in his briefcase all the time.
Yeah.
Used to have it in there and just walk, carry it on in his briefcase.
Yep. And, well, if that were still able to do that today, or if they would have been able to do that on 9/11, you think those two towers would have fallen? You think that, you know, Hodges with box cutters would have gotten anywhere? And not that I hold to that official story, but the official story just doesn't hold water. Anyway, Kyle, you had something here.
Well,
we just got another couple minutes. Wow, we're about out of time.
I was just thinking, you know, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, there is freedom, you know. And not that a lot hadn't been taken away even 19 years ago when you've seen that, but just think how far we've went downhill since then, you know. So all these victories that Jason's talking about, yeah, I mean, they're great. You know, let's keep them coming, but, you know, got to get the word out, knowledge out, you know,
yes,
because that's what's going to change. Anyway, repentance.
Amen. Well, Jason, we're about out of time. Why don't you invite him to church tomorrow, and we'll have to sign off.
Now, why don't you come to church tomorrow, folks? We sure would like to have you.
Maybe tell him how.
You can tell them just as good as I can.
Hey, come to church tomorrow. ScripturesForAmerica.org, right there on our homepage. And right there on the left, you can click on live video streaming starting at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. 10 o'clock Mountain, 11 o'clock Central, and noon on the East Coast. And, you know, you've heard us say real men don't go to church, but you can be a real man and come to church at the LaPorte Church of Christ. Thanks for joining us, guys. We'll go out with the song. The pastor sure liked it. We do, too. We'll see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, 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 stay high. This country stolen, keep on rolling over Snake High. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, Snake High.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over Snake High. Don't try to understand them.
just cursing, stomping, stranded. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, snake hide. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more, snake hide.
Moving, 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 though they're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting.